Hey, we're back with season two of Edge of Indy and to kick off 2018. Nutrition and health is usually on everybody's mind at the start of the new year. So we're going to be joined by two brothers with a focus on just that very thing at the macro level. That's Ben and Nathan Canary of Herculane Meal Prep, right? As well as we're going to be bringing around some great people that we wanted to focus on from Indy. We need your help, Indy. We have a massive blood shortage on our hands, and Indiana Blood Center is here, and they need blood now. So we're going to be talking to them. A lot of things dialed into your health today on Edge of Indy.
Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy, broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
All right, welcome, Indianapolis. Welcome back to Edge of Indy. If you have not, hey, Happy New Year, everybody. If you haven't come across this show before on Facebook Live or on a podcast, thanks for joining us today. Let's tell you what Edge of Indy is all about. First and foremost, my name is Aaron Sparks. I'm the host of Edge of Indy. I'm the CEO of Site Strategics, as well as Edge Media Studios. To my right, we have Brittany Harness, who is on Simpson. Lord almighty. I tried to shake that off for 2018. It just didn't stick, did it?
Never have.
Sorry, Ryan. The name hasn't stuck
Brittany
yet.
Brittany Simpson. She is the outreach and onboarding manager here at Site Strategics. And Edge of Indy is all about focusing on moving and shaking companies and organizations that are focused on innovation inside of Indiana. We feature people and organizations that really help Indianapolis be a great place to work, live, and visit. So welcome back to the show. We are talking about this regularly. It's Edge of Indy, and we always focus on choosing local and choosing local often. That is what Edge of Indy is all about. So let's introduce to you who is in the studio today. We have our guests, Ben Canary, scientist and chef founder. Chief founder or chef founder?
Chef. He's a chef.
He's a chef.
Of Herculane Meal Prep. And we also have Nate Canary. He's the bodybuilder of Herculane Meal Prep, right?
Canary, but yes. Yes.
See? If you're playing the drinky game at home, we got one right and one wrong.
Oh, God, I love it when I'm
so
right.
So he drinks?
Well, gentlemen, welcome to the show. It's not often we have bodybuilders in the building, so tell us about Herculane Meal Prep.
Sure. So what we do is we make convenient pre-made meals that are made with high protein, with complex carbohydrates, and with lots of vegetables that have a lot of fiber in them.
Okay.
And they're pretty low in fat. And it's loosely based on a diet that Nate used to use to prepare for bodybuilding shows. So it's all about cutting fat without losing any muscle. In fact, most people who are on the diet, especially if you're lifting weights too, are able to gain muscle while they're losing fat. And that's important for your metabolism.
Right.
The pre-made aspect makes it convenient. I used to make all my own meals, and I was on the George Foreman burning rice and chicken and just trying to down it with water and mustard and whatnot. And my brother Ben got involved and
stepped in and said, "What are you doing?"
Yeah. He chefed it up. And now they're delicious, you know, and they get the job done.
I'm going to ask a glaring, obvious question. I was asking questions before the show started because my husband is into this kind of thing, and he had questions, and so I wanted to ask
that. That would be Mr. Simpson.
That's right. Simpson. Hi, Ryan. Good to see you again. For those of us who are clueless, though, people like myself, this is a focus on macros. What in tarnation is a macro?
So,
and are they good or bad?
A macro is kind of short for macronutrients.
Okay. Yeah.
It's basically the proteins, carbs, and fats found in our foods, you know, so you can have wide extremes of, you know, some stuff's very high in sugar, so high carb, very high in fat. And our meals, we try to have a nice balance where it's, you know, high protein, good complex carbs, and low fats.
What is a complex carb?
A complex carb is going to be something found with a little more higher fiber, you know, and we add the vegetables too, so it's digested slower, so it doesn't cause any spikes, you know, in insulin. It really just, it is used for energy instead of storing on your body.
A simple carbohydrate is going to be something like a sugar, right? At the end of the day, in your body, every carbohydrate will be broken down into glucose, which is sugar.
That's so, what makes you a fatty
little baddie. The complexity of the carb is a complex carb needs to be broken down. It takes a longer time before it turns into sugar. And that's important because when you have a blood sugar spike, that can tend to be stored as fat.
Right.
Right. So complex carbs, longer digestion. Simple carbs, quick energy, and then a crash, and then it's stored as fat.
Right.
Yeah. And the macronutrients, by the way, are the nutrients in food that add calories. So protein has 4 calories per gram. Carbohydrates have 4 calories per gram. Mm-hmm. Fat is very energy dense, so it has 9 calories per gram.
Oh, wow.
So if you are looking at a food and it has, 10 grams of fat, well, that's 90 calories. And if it only has 10 grams of protein, that's 40 calories. So if you put it on a pie chart and you look at how much of this meal is coming from fat, it's really eye-opening sometimes to put things on paper and look at them like that.
Yep. Now, in the midst of all the different diets that are out there, I mean, we certainly want to deep dive into what this, it's not a diet, this is obviously a lifestyle, correct?
Yeah, it's a meal plan lifestyle.
I mean, there's a lot of other diets that are out there. Atkins is obviously the one that's floating around. There's also the Ideal Protein that has taken a huge barnstorm around in Indianapolis, let alone the entire Midwest. There is a challenge whenever you're eating on those diets because they are sans fat. They are completely sans sugar. And whenever you're in those diets, you're actually doing some detriment to your muscle mass as well, correct?
Well, when you work out, you are breaking your muscle down and then it repairs itself, right?
Right.
I don't think you're actually causing a detriment to your muscles by the food that you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, I think you're fueling them much better than on like the average American diet.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Is Diet Coke bad for you?
That depends on who you ask, right? Personally, I don't have a problem with diet drinks. Some
like
people
LaCroix.
Are more.
LaCroix.
Yeah, LaCroix water is great.
There you go.
Some
I'm not that basic, sir.
Yeah. Hey, they come in lots of flavors.
Certain
now.
People it's have certain really, sensitivities to various
trending,
sugar substitutes, right? And going back to what you were talking about with what happens when you pull sugar out of your diet,
you get hangry
and
mad.
How do you still have fun? Well, there are a lot of both natural and unnatural substitutes, right? So monk fruit would be
monk
a natural.
Fruit.
There's another one called oligofructose, which is like a chicory root fiber. So you're not actually, you're not just pulling out sugar, you're also adding fiber. So I like that one. Mm-hmm. Stevia is great, but it does have a bit of an aftertaste. So you have some that are like combinations of those to come up with a natural tasting sugar substitute. And we have a bunch of products in our store that use a lot of those. So that's how I've kind of gotten to know them.
Very cool. I mean, and we've been the red of Splenda and I mean, aspartame is what's in the diet drinks. And
I know it's bad for you, but every once in a while.
Well, I mean, I think it's rumor had it that it actually put fur on the tongues of the third, fourth generation of rats.
Oh,
so.
I know. And it, like,
I haven't
eats,
heard those.
It eats rats alive and all that.
Think some people are more sensitive to it than others.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll continue.
I'll have a DC. I'm not going to freak out if I have a DC.
Okay.
All right. Well, so what was the impetus of starting Herculane? I mean, I imagine you guys have a unique perspective for Indiana's obesity challenge, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're from Indiana. You know, born and raised. Mm-hmm. I started bodybuilding competitively when I was 17. Mm-hmm. So I'm 33 now. And so for years, I'd go back and forth from being, super shredded to trying to bulk and doing it all myself. And it was just madness. And then I got into other things, businesses, and I kind of got away from fitness. So a couple years ago, Ben finished school, moved in with me. Mm-hmm. I'm like trying to meal prep and he sees me doing this, and it's not legit, And so he's like, let me help you a little bit. So he jumps in, starts chefing it up, and at first I was like, nah, man, you can't put all that in here. Well, it turns out it's just herbs, spices, and different styles of cooking.
Sure.
So we ran with it, and then some of the guys I worked out with were like, what's the secret? I'm like, Ben. And then,
Ben
starts cooking full time in my house. And next thing you know, I'm like, we got to stop this. This is getting crazy. Or we might have something here.
You know? We need to monetize this
so
instead.
We kind of had a meeting about it, and we took off, you know. Mm-hmm. We started feeding anybody and everybody and as many as possible, and everybody's getting results, and it's making life easier for a lot of people, and a lot of people a lot happier, and it works, you know. You just heat them up and eat them.
Yep.
So, I mean, you've taken the path of, honestly, kind of an organic, pardon the pun, right? Mm-hmm. But organic growth here is that you didn't market it and then correct. Hope that you had an audience.
We didn't even want this to happen.
It wasn't supposed to be a business.
Yeah.
It was for me and Ben. It was an accident. And then people kept wanting it. So, yeah, it did really grow organically through word of mouth primarily.
Right.
And these days, it's like our packaging is really unique, and a lot of people will say they'll keep it at their workplace for lunch,
mm-hmm.
and their coworkers just see it, and they're like, what's that? And the next thing you know, their coworkers are coming into the store, too.
Why didn't you bring us any?
We will bring you some.
Okay.
So it's also just really cool because something I'm passionate about, like I've always been passionate about fitness and nutrition, and it's always just not tasted good.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben is a passionate chef, so mm-hmm. he's able to do something he's passionate about. So, like, anytime you're doing your passion, you're happier, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, and nobody, even if you're focused on weight loss or maintaining your shape or whatever the case is, nobody wants to eat anything that doesn't taste good. Like, we just don't want, then it just becomes mm-hmm. a chore, and it's just punishment and, like,
tastes
eating cardboard.
Good. Convenience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No dishes.
Oh, no.
That's another bonus. I'm going to tell you
that.
I
like that even better.
No dishes is awesome.
I might eat cardboard if I didn't have to clean dishes. That would be great.
No dishes.
I mean, I come from a bit of a diet background here. My mm-hmm. wife and I have been on Ideal on and off for a while. And there's an entire area of foods, not only supplements, there's an entire food industry if you're going to go the regimented route. And this stuff is pricey. I mean, you can get into major, major spend whenever you're dealing with controlled portions and controlled, I mean, you're not eating anything else except what that diet is actually
like
delivering.
Like Weight Watchers,
to you.
Is that?
But it's like
not
it's like I'm... it's like Weight Watchers on steroids, because this stuff you cannot eat anything except what they're actually mail ordering you, and this stuff is like $7 for a bag of chips.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. So what happened with us? We were at Williams Sonoma. It's like a cooking store. When we were just starting this mm-hmm. as a business,
right?
And we were talking to a woman who worked there, and she said, well, I'm a single mom. Can I afford this? And we looked at each other, and we were both thinking the exact same thing. We're going to keep this so that a single parent mm-hmm. could afford to be on it.
That's fantastic.
And a lot of people are doing exactly the type of prepared meals that we're doing and charging like $5 a meal more than we are. And what we've always said was, we know there's such a need in the community for them that rather than have a huge margin on mm-hmm. the meals, we're going to let the margin be smaller, and then we can help more people
have
and
more
then it'll
reach.
Work. And it works.
Well, anything about like college students or just different, you know, different audiences who want access to things like this that cannot necessarily afford
right.
a $5.50 bag of
Oh, it's terrible.
Chips or whatever.
In full transparency, we unhooked ourselves from that diet because it is just a gargantuan tax from a finance standpoint, and you do something else that's alternative, right? You try to find that dialing into that particular program, you try to find anything that's going to be a little bit more budget sensitive. And what you're talking about is you led with budget sensitivity to begin with.
Yeah, we keep budget in mind, but then it's also like when you lock it in, which I'm locked in right now,
mm-hmm.
that means you don't go to the grocery.
Nope.
So your time is opening up. You don't.
What is
cook.
That like?
Yeah.
Not to have to go
it's
to the grocery
crazy.
Store.
It's amazing. So you don't go to the grocery. You don't have to cook. You don't have dishes. You don't have to wonder what's on the menu. You know. So your time opening up is something that you don't notice at first, but then all of a sudden you're like, you got more time to do a lot of other stuff. You know, because going to the grocery, cooking, cleaning, thinking about what's for dinner, thinking about what's for lunch, yada yada yada. Oh, wow. That's all stuff that is naturally happening. That gets removed if you're on a pre-made meal service.
Yeah, that's the other thing is that when you get into these diets and actually controlling what you're intaking, you realize, and not to go into a whole other area, is the food industrial complex that surrounds us My gosh, they have us on this sugar drip. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything is
and salt
and salt. Oh,
and fat.
Oh, God, yeah. It's also good.
Yeah, they lure you in.
I know.
I have a pretty strong theory on this, right? Yeah. And I think that every restaurant and every food product, right, it's so competitive. And the biggest thing that they compete with each other on is flavor, right? Mm-hmm. And value, so portion mm-hmm. size. So what they want to do is, how can I give my consumers the best tasting meal? And then they'll choose me over the competition, right? Mm-hmm. And the way they do that is sugar, fat, and salt.
Right.
And what they're ignoring is, how do you feel after you leave the restaurant or after you finish the meal? And what do you look like a year later if you're eating that type of food over and over and over? And for us, those are actually the very first two. So I'm writing like a manifesto.
Right.
And the most important thing to me about food is, how does it affect your body over time? So if you eat this meal over and over after a year, what are you going to look like?
How are you going to feel?
The second most important thing is, in the 0 to 3 hours postprandial, meaning after you eat,
right,
how do you feel?
Huh.
Could you go to the gym after you eat, you know?
Right.
Or are you going to have like a
carb coma
post-Thanksgiving?
we all know it. But the problem is that we've been plugged in to the matrix now generations, so we don't know the difference. We don't know that feeling. And literally, as soon as all of the GMO crap got into the system in the late 70s and early 80s, right, we are now being
poisoned.
We're bringing in so much that we don't know the difference. And whenever you shake off that carb coma, I mean, you can feel different. And all of a sudden you're recognizing things in a whole different space. It's really like you're unplugging yourself from the matrix.
You feel fueled after you eat a hurricane meal.
And when your palate changes too, because when you eat mass prepared meal after you've either cooked for yourself for a couple weeks or maybe eaten our meals for a couple weeks, you go back to maybe your favorite restaurant or whatever, and it tastes way different. It tastes crazy salty and greasy.
Yep.
And that that becomes the new normal.
Yeah, it really does. And that's where I think that we've done such a disservice to the children and generations, because we have them on this high fructose
garbage,
and they don't know what real food tastes like. They don't know how to actually even inventory themselves or what they've. I mean, they're on a constant drip, a constant toxification. And as soon as you detox, perfect example is, as soon as you detox cleanly, take a 45-day just push away from sugars, all of a sudden now you try to drink a Coke, you can't.
Yeah.
You literally cannot. Not Diet Coke. I mean, literally, that just tastes like you're taking a big swig of maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's true.
That's the tough thing. And people don't know that there's another side to food.
This is the one thing that is true. For those that have come in and they do lock it in, you know, they get on our program. In the first week to 10 days, they usually see a 10-pound loss.
Nuh-uh.
I
just did it again. I've lost 16 pounds in 3 weeks, and I did eat a little for Christmas. I had a little Christmas.
Well, so. I mean, you have to.
So, and that's the water weight there.
Yeah, it's that water weight from everything you're talking
about.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, call it whatever you want, but it's not quality food. You know, it's excessive, you know, preservatives. Things like these that aren't necessary.
Let's call it what it is. It's Soylent Green. We're eating people. We realize that, right?
You know what I'm excited about? Have you heard about the Instant Pot? It's like a pressure cooker thing. So my mom for Christmas got. I know it sounds naughty and bad, but it's not. It's like a pressure cooker.
Wasn't that a CNN episode here just recently?
Denver.
Oh, you people. But my point is like you can put chicken in it, cook it for 12. It's just water and chicken, and you season it with things that you know what you're putting in it, and then it comes out. It's like amazing.
There you go.
There's
a French name for that, but. Instant Pot. Yeah, there we go.
Shout out Instant Pot.
All right. Nice.
Well, you guys have a store.
Yes.
A brand new store, fresh off that store opening. So tell us how things are going and where are you guys located?
Well, we're located on East 82nd Street, 82nd and Dean.
Oh, wow.
Kind of by like Drake's behind.
It's like one light east of the Fashion Mall.
Yeah, east of the Fashion
That's
Mall.
That's not a bad place. I'm not there place. Ever near the Fashion Mall. Yeah.
Things are going very well. So it took us a while to open the store. Just the process of getting the permits for it. It was, you know, a lot of work. And then we got it open, and we had a lot of media coverage because we're the first store of our kind in Indianapolis.
Sure.
And so we thought we had a lot of food. And then suddenly we were on TV and people came in. And we sold out of all of our food, right?
That'll do that.
And we had to stop eating them.
Yeah, we stopped eating them because we didn't have enough,
for like
right?
4 months. Because I'm like, I'm not going to, if I don't have enough for people that want to buy it, how am I going to eat it, you know?
So we got more people in the kitchen.
Back to the street.
We spent more hours and we started, now we're able to produce more than what we're selling, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a great
feeling. That's a good spot to be in.
Now, yeah. And the store is going great. So every time I just got a text, we're out of lean ground beef, but I'll fix that. We'll have it in tomorrow. And we're not running out of food anymore. And people are coming in and they're able to get their meals. Huh. I worked on New Year's Day. Gave everyone the day off, but I came in and I worked. And it wasn't the busiest day we've ever had, but everybody who came in, it was their first time coming in.
Really?
And yeah, I love talking to people when it's their first time coming in. I get to tell them the story of the company. You know, everybody has a different level of experience that they bring. Mm-hmm. So some people, they've, you know, limited workout history and they've never really tried a diet. And you get to really help them learn through experience, right? And then other people, they're like, well, I'm a personal trainer, but I could really use the extra time, like Nate was saying. So
it can take a lot of time. It's your whole day. One day a week cooking if you're prepping.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
And you gotta shop like a crazy person. And then by the end of the week, the food is not as good as it started.
Because it's been refrigerated. Yeah, you're totally right.
Stuff happens.
We just started offering nationwide shipping.
Whoa!
That happened
meal delivery?
Before
shipping.
Yeah,
yes, to your door.
Yep, we FedEx it to you. So anywhere within 300 miles of the store, it is really, really cheap to just get it next day to you.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm. What's within a 300 mile radius? Do you know?
Chicago, St. Louis, Louisville, Cincinnati. You know, Kokomo, West Lafayette, Bloomington.
Louisville.
Sure.
Yeah.
100%.
Interesting.
That's fantastic.
That was going to be your next question was, can people get this delivered? And now they can.
Yeah. You just go to HerculeanMealPrep.com. You go to the shop. You know, you can pick meal plans or you can pick the exact meals that you want. And then at the checkout page, it's just like shipping or local pickup.
Yep, we have it on the screen too,
for people, the link. Excellent. So, yeah, check the link out. It's Herculean, L-E-A-N, MealPrep.com for those of you audio listeners out there. This is a great story because it's not a traditional before it's actually owned by the market. I mean, you guys have actually created something organic, and the market found you and asked for more of this. And on top of it, it just looks like this is the way business is really supposed to go. You know, is that you grow something that you love, and all of a sudden you're in a space where that passion is infectious, and people are dying for alternatives to the sugar drip that's out there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe
especially this time of year.
Oh, God,
like
yes.
Everybody's literally dying to like get on the right page.
I know that in my situation, it's impossible for me to be, I'm so busy that if it wasn't for Herculean Meal Prep, I would not be able to be in shape. And with Herculean, I can be in whatever degree shape I want to be. And so right now, I want to be shredded like lettuce, so I'm going to give it another 30, 60 days, and I'll be walking around.
But it's not just for bodybuilders, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like,
it helps
for
you
anybody.
Lean.
Okay.
It's not like I'm
okay.
just going to get big muscles because of this. You know what I mean?
Like, if I don't want to look like a Ninja Turtle, I don't have to.
No, if you want to look like a Ninja Turtle, I don't know exactly what the plan is for that.
That would be really, really weird, though.
I'll look into that. But one thing I can promise is that you'll feel better and you will lean out. Herculean, not Hercule Ninja Turtle.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Herculean. So, yeah, for those that want to actually, like, build and bulk, that's a different program. They got to add some stuff to it and exercise differently.
Got it.
This is a clean meal plan.
For anybody.
You don't even have to work out. It's not even really necessarily about that. It's about your nutrition.
Well, I mean, honestly, it's eating right. And
eating real food.
Yeah, for the most part, and not just being saturated with I mean, I, again, I'm in that space, but I mean, my God, anything to push away from how we're being sold such high fructose environments. Mm. I mean, and this sounds fantastic. So can you give us any words of wisdom or any motivational thoughts for the viewers and listeners who are trying to get healthy in 2018? Because we just went through, just like every year, we get through the holidays, and not only are we feeling really heavy, but we also are in carb coma, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, we could shake it off, but at the same time, how would you guide somebody into a better way of life?
So I think, being that it is right after New Year's Eve or right after New Year's, you have an excuse to make a change. Mm-hmm. And for me, all that it was one foot in front of the other over and over and over again. And I think consistency is the biggest key. And so if you really want to have one of those transformations that will make all of your friends just, they can't even believe it, mm-hmm. you just come talk to us. We'll help you get on the right track on your food, and just do it over and over again. You can cook the food at home. You can use our meals to help, but stick to it. You know, for me, it took about 10 months, and I lost a lot of fat, and I built a lot of muscle. And on my phone, you know how it can tell, like, different people by mm-hmm. their faces?
Oh, yeah.
I'm in my phone as two people.
And, no.
You know, yeah, my before
wow.
and then my
you
after.
Lose 70 pounds?
Well, I went from 240 down to 156, but I put on a lot of muscle. So I don't know, because we didn't have our in-body machine, so I didn't know how much was fat and whatnot, but it's just one foot in front of the other. Just do it. And
that was with no cardio, too.
No cardio.
Are you kidding me?
I lifted weights, and
we lifted weights, and we ate strictly Herculean.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
big. All right, I'm sold.
That's so big.
We're going to have to talk after the show.
I locked it in. That's what I did. So I'm getting my results right now, daily. Mm-hmm. So that's how I did it,
right?
But I'm going 100%.
Right.
So anybody can lock in at their own level. They're going to get results, but when the results slow down or plateau, they have to take it to the next level, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's not realistic for me to say, hey, everybody, stop eating everything else and eat five meals a day, Herculean, do exactly what I say, and you're going to be exactly here, righteous right now. I mean, that would happen, but not everybody's going to do that. So I just say, take, like Ben said, one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
Make a decision to make a change and come in. We'll hook you up. We'll get you started. We'll help you. We'll answer any questions you have, and you'll see the results.
Okay. Excellent. I'll bring my husband in.
Bring him in.
Okay.
He's skinny as a rail.
Don't tell him that. He doesn't mean it. He doesn't mean it, Ryan. He thinks you're buff.
All right.
He's fasting out there.
At the same time, we certainly implore people to get off the sugar drip, because, I mean, we all recognize that there is the space out there that they got to get away from and get some cleaner food. And Herculean certainly is representing
Herculean
that.
Drip.
All right. So you can connect to the shop at facebook.com/macros.curated. The website is HerculeanMealPrep.com, and Instagram is macros.curated as well. We thank you both for being here. It's a great inspiration. Thanks so much
for giving
back to the community as well. You're more than welcome. As an Indiana startup company, we certainly want to reach out and be able to showcase businesses like yourself. So you're doing a great thing. Keep it going. Any thoughts of another shop in the future?
Absolutely. Actually, we're working on production so that the shipping will be able to be bigger and broader.
Yep.
So production is kind of the first thing, and then either another store or just make it super convenient from like an app, you know? So
cool. A
store is not always the most convenient, because convenience is key here. You know, you don't want to cook, you don't want to go to the grocery, but you got to go to the store. We just want you to swipe left. Meals are there. Eat the meals, and then it's over with. You know, then everybody's walking around. Indianapolis will be the leanest city in the United States, maybe the world.
And I think you mean swipe right. Isn't that the good
one? Yeah, actually, swipe right. Yeah.
I don't do any of that swiping. Swipe whatever you want.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, so much. And we're certainly going to be cheering you guys from social media, and let us know if we can ever help you. All right.
Thank you so much.
More than welcome. More than welcome. All right. Somebody who actually needs some help. We're going to be talking to Paul Petit coming up, and we're going to blame him a little bit on the weather. So check this segment out.
real life, real stories. Let's see what's trending in Indianapolis. This is Paul Poteet on The Edge.
Okay. All right.
Angels in the outfield.
Everybody who's watching, this is the guy that's responsible for all the weather right now. Yeah. You can't move. You can't leave.
I'm like one of those guys on the 60 Minutes interview who just realized he's being ambushed.
Yeah, I didn't prepare anybody for this, especially Paul. What is the deal with the freeze, man?
What have you done?
Who'd you piss off?
Do you want to know?
No. Honestly, that's been a long break. I don't want to know that.
Yeah, we don't have time for that. But more recently, I don't know what happened, except that we were due, you know. We were out there shoveling the other morning. And when I say we, I mean Mrs. Poteet, pretty much. I had a feed or something. No, but when I joined her to finish up and to look around, you know, and make sure there weren't any spots on shovel.
Oh, wow.
Our neighbor had already pretty much, you know, used the power tools on it. The snowblower on it. But anyway,
the power tools.
You can think of a weatherman who doesn't know what a snowblower is. That's not good.
No. I think we're in an awful place there.
She had been out there, and she'd been out there, and I was joining her, and she was saying, "I just bought this, I bought this shovel like 2 years ago, and it was the first time, you know, she/we had used it. We never used a shovel last year."
No.
I don't know that we used it more than once, like the season before. So,
well, happy new year to you, Paul.
Averages, baby. What can I say? I hate it. You know, I hate winter weather, so I'm on record as hating it.
So does she, evidently. Yeah, Brittany has expressed her frustrations before, and she was really kind of cursing you out this morning. I don't know what was going on there.
That's what that was.
Yep,
okay.
Pretty much.
That's good, though, because it kept me a little tingly for a while when I was outside to have your ears burn like that.
Yeah, the hate has its place, I guess.
Weather is one of the 9 Indiana maps I'm going to show you. You know, I feel like I should show you maps because that's what I do when there's a camera on me.
All right. Bring a map. Let's see some edgy news here. Hit it.
This is originated on Reddit, and it's like a copy of a copy, and I haven't been able to find the original yet, but it's pretty funny, and I'll explain the color coding as we go along here. These are like 9 ways you can divide Indiana. I am kind of fascinated with maps, so this made me laugh. So there's 9 maps here.
Okay.
The first one in the upper left that you see there, the area in blue is super late winter sunrises, and the area in whatever that is, yellow, lime, green, super early winter sunsets. What do you want? Do you want a super late sunrise or a super early sunset?
Okay.
Now, the one in the middle there, the blue is diehard Indiana sports fans. Orange doesn't support Colts or Pacers. And then the red in that one in the middle doesn't support an NCAA Indiana team. Ouch. Louisville, UK action there. The one on the right, you may be a step ahead. That's the only one that I guessed before I read the caption. The one on the right, the blue is Democratic, red is Republican.
Wow.
I think that's probably fairly accurate. Now, as you go down the middle here, okay, this map that's on the left as we scroll down, this is kind of funny. The one on the left, the darkest green, moderately hilly, the kind of bright green color, mostly flat, the lime green color, including Indianapolis, definitely flat. And then for those of you who've enjoyed a scenic trip on I-65 to Lafayette, incredibly flat.
Painfully flat.
Painfully flat. So boring. You're almost excited to see the Rensselaer exit, even though you know you're about to go into Chicago driving. Okay, the one in the middle.
Yep.
The dark blue. Hoosier twang. Pin equals pin.
That's funny.
Green on that one, the kind of limey green down by Louisville is full-blown Kentucky accent. Yep. Speaking of Louisville. I got to go out and wash the clothes. You remember in the 80s when President Bush was president? And then the kind of dull yellow color, including what, Fort Wayne and down towards Cincy, that is a standard Midwestern dialect. And then in the upper left-hand corner, full-blown Chicago accent, which is true. People up in the region there have a tendency to talk funny. Now, the one, this is one I am so familiar with, the one on the right there, the kind of brown shading in the bottom, more ice than snow. Mm-hmm. And then you got the, I don't know what color that is, kind of a blue, a little tinge of teal or something. Usually gets a good dusting. And then you get the darker blue from Indy northward, reliably white Christmas. Eh, I'd move it up a little bit farther north, but I'm just, you know, picky weatherman.
Who are you?
And then up by South Bend, that color is lake effect snow, but worse. Oh, I did the punchline in the wrong order. By Gary, it's lake effect snow, and then lake effect snow, but worse in South Bend. It is. It can be so horrendous up in South. I worked with a radio station there for several years, and it was just horrible. Every other day, I was like 7 to 25 inches of snow, depending on what county you were in. So that's how you divide Indiana. We've got a couple more.
Quickies. Yeah, go for it. What in the world is this?
The brown. I like the shape of it too. Brown is tenderloin eaters, and then the red shaded is Indiana has other food too. I don't know. I think
amen.
I think the tenderloin thing is pretty, maybe more widespread than that.
I'm sure that perfect circle is very accurate as well.
It's the shape of a tenderloin. It's a giant tenderloin.
Yeah, it should be a circle with like flat, with the tenderloin sticking out of either side.
It's a tenderloin mothership that's hovering over Indiana.
So like an aerial view. The one with the green, the light green or the lime green gets, or the dark area on that map is, let me try this again. The lime green is get stuck behind a tractor, and then the darker shading is also get stuck behind the Amish.
Oh my gosh. You can't. But what, okay, is that Lafayette? What's the dot there?
Yeah, what's the dot?
I don't know what the dot is. I mean, I'm from Northeast Indiana, so I
it's Greencastle.
Greencastle? I didn't realize that was a hotbed. And then the one on the last one's pretty funny too. The blue shaded area, better stock up on booze by Saturday night. Gold shaded area, reasonable to drive to the border. So there are nine.
Fist bump. Oh, she's not getting. She's like,
oh, sorry, they're not wrong. That's an accurate one.
But don't have it, before you drive back. But you can drive to get it.
Oh my gosh, that's fun. That is too.
Slice up Indiana. There you go. And now we leave the friendly confines of the Hoosier State to a land where someone is afraid of Tasmanian Devil. Are you familiar with Tasmanian Devil, the cartoon?
Absolutely, yeah.
He's fun, right? He just, he goes in and he goes out.
I'm sorry, what was that? He does what?
He goes, he goes out. That's the animation. This is like one of the movies Bob McLean used to do on Channel 6 when I worked with him, when he would be in front of the weather.
It's three times we had the Tasmanian Devil sound.
We've got plenty of stock footage now to use to turn that into a meme. All right, thank you very much for your support.
Good luck with that screen grab. Okay.
Four. This is awesome. Please don't stop. Please don't stop doing it.
As he says he has a fear of the Tasmanian Devil and claims his father-in-law repeatedly scared him with a toupee that looks like the cartoon character.
Yes!
Eunice Dole, I'm approximating his name, was arrested in November for violating a restraining order that his son-in-law had filed. The 36-year-old says the older guy, his father-in-law, terrorized him at a funeral by waving the hairpiece and snarling.
There's so much wrong. Where do you begin?
Who does that at a funeral? You can't wave a hairpiece at a funeral. That's just bad manners.
That's just bad manners is what that is.
Is there a video, please? Is there a video?
I hope not, because I don't like seeing pictures or which I have seen people share. What do you think? Does that look like the Tasmanian?
If he's spinning it around his finger, I bet it could actually resemble that.
Right. So the guy has.
Wow. Okay. We did that.
Nice.
We went there.
Very nice. That could scare you if you have a fear of the Tasmanian devil. Looney Tunes is what I say.
And it says his dad was arrested.
Yeah, well, he had filed a restraining order against him in September following an altercation at a restaurant. And so now I guess this happened at a funeral. An attorney for the older guy labeled the case a family dispute, you think?
It sounds like there's a lot of family issues, deep-seated issues in that family.
There's a lot going on
there. There's a lot happening in that family.
Needs to see We Grow Hair Indy, because that did not look convincing. But anyway, so that's edge story number two. That's going to be hard to top that one, I know, for number three. But are you ready?
Ready.
Hit me.
Since we worked together over the Christmas holiday, I've been saving this one. Ho, ho, ho. An elderly couple arrested as they were driving across the country, apparently, from California to Vermont. The guy is 80 years old. Woman is 83 years old, right? 60 pounds of marijuana that they were toting. Is a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a big stash. They were stopped for failing to use their turn signal. Oh!
You sure it wasn't a CNN remote crew there?
They said, yeah, right.
Well, yeah, that's enough. You can just low-key pack that in your car and no one will notice.
Oh, yeah. I would totally feel comfortable driving across country with
that. Wow.
They said the marijuana was for Christmas presents. Nana, that's so nice of you.
Nana. Honestly, on this one, there's so many forks in the road here. I don't know which joke lane to go down. I mean, literally.
Yeah, right. Well, signal before you go or you're going to get booked. Do you find their claims dubious?
Oh, Paul, I've missed you.
Wow.
I don't know about you guys, but in my family, we have a gift giving, limit that we set. And I think they may have been over that for, if they were.
Well, can you imagine if you're bringing that to a Christmas dinner, all the additional munchies that you're going to have to stock up on?
That would take more than, what is it you had in your house over the holiday, your gummy bears?
Yeah. We had 2 pounds of gummy bears that were systematically digested by every short critter in the house.
Man, women, and child.
80 and 83 years old.
Oh, wow.
Well.
Good for them.
Usually at that age, aren't your joints supposed to be covered by Icy Hot?
I'm like rope-a-dope, man. I feel like Muhammad Ali. He's just pounding me here. Dad jokes 5-1 here. We got to have a scorecard from here on out.
Yeah, so that's the story of the... That's where I hope to be in 25 years, driving across country, taking care of the family. Grandma and Grandpa do so much. So do I. So Grandpa Poteet signing off. That once again, three lovely stories from The Edge.
All right. So with that, let's hear about your wonderful warm forecast coming to us this January week, right?
They're about to get a blizzard in Vermont. So,
good. They can keep it there.
They're going to be burning what they can, but, this the friends of this couple won't be burning that. Yeah, they can keep it there. It's a blizzard. It's what's called a bomb kind of a storm because it's exploding in intensity as it develops rapidly. So you'll hear bombogenesis over the next few days. There's your new weather buzzword, I predict. Bombogenesis is what that's called because it genesis. It forms, but it sort of bombs out real quickly. It just forms real quickly. So
I hear a drinking game coming on.
I'd like for that to be my new nickname also. Bombogenesis.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Bombogenesis.
Shoot.
Just watch though. The next few days on TV, you're gonna hear that a lot. And a piece of the polar vortex is breaking off and going into the Northeast right behind it on Friday and Saturday. So it's gonna be lingo heaven over the next few days.
Wow. But
for us, it's some snow showers have been around today. There could be some a quick little, half inch, quarter of an inch, enough to make people even more mad at me today. It's just like and it's with another cold front. It's just like a fresh shot of cold air. It didn't go below zero last night, but it's going right back around it tonight. and then below it again, Thursday night into Friday morning, Friday night into Saturday morning, again, we're going to go below zero. And we got a big system coming at us from the southwest. It's going to pull up some warmer air Sunday. Unfortunately, it's the old, it's the classic top-down warm-up that we get in wintertime. So there may be some hours on Sunday afternoon where it's warm enough to start out as rain just above us, but you know, it's been so cold that it's going to take some time for the ground to catch up. So when that happens, falls liquid, lands, you know, and freezes on contact. That's the worst, obviously. That's freezing rain. So you may have that to deal with before it goes to all rain, perhaps Sunday evening and into Monday morning, and then it'll end back with a little bit of snow on the tail end of it as it's going back to colder air. So it's kind of mixed. It's a mixed bag.
I'm not happy with you about this.
At least it'll be warmer, you know, for about 12 hours. You know, it'll go above freezing. So
just enough to get everything evenly melted and then freeze.
Yeah, and then refreeze again. So, yeah, there's going to be Tuesday morning's rush hour. But next week will probably be slippery. And, yeah, if you have to go somewhere Sunday night, not so nice either, maybe. Or Sunday afternoon, too.
Is it going to, I know you can only really see a certain amount ahead, but is it going to be this freakishly cold for a long time?
No, it looked like it was going to, that we might turn the corner here late in the, like the last week of January. Okay. And then, no.
So your answer is you'll have a month of bitter cold.
Yeah, right. It hasn't gone above freezing since it went to 32 on Christmas Eve day. So if you want to count that, that was the last time, Christmas Eve. So that was a week ago Sunday. Yeah, a week ago Sunday.
Hey, all my kids, thank you very much for the Winter Wonderland on Christmas Eve. They enjoyed it incredibly so.
Yeah, we did. That's right. We had the white. Technically, the Weather Service only had 0.7 inches of snow. So if you use the 1 inch definition, then technically they didn't actually have a white Christmas. But I think most people, it looked pretty Christmassy to me outside my window that night.
The high pitched screams of my children convinced me that we had one.
Aww,
so thank you.
The video?
Well, the earplugs that I was wearing were helping immensely. And Mike,
what you were told were the high pitch. Yeah,
it just looked like high pitch.
You joined the progress, like I joined the shoveling in progress. You joined all that in progress. Honey, do you have that handled? Okay, good.
All set. Thanks. Well, thank you so much, Paul. And we certainly appreciate the weather as well as all the edgy stories. You can certainly find Paul at paulpetit.com.
OT.com. If you have any friends in Cincinnati this weekend, I'll be on WKRC, which is the CBS station, Local 12, they call it. So I'll be joining them for on and off throughout the month because I'm a traveling weatherman. Make a lot of stops all over the world.
All of the stalker ensemble that Paul has. So you got to go to Cincinnati.
Head south. I'm trying to get away from the cold weather, but I don't think I'm going far enough south.
I don't think so.
I think you're going the wrong direction, actually.
Yeah, right. I should be freelancing in Phoenix. All right. I'll work on that with my agent soon.
All right. Well, safe travels, my friend, and we will see you and talk to you next week.
All right. See you then.
Bye.
Take care.
This is Edge of Indy, showcasing Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Now, let's get back to today's topic.
Okay, hey, we're back, and boy, he was a bit disturbing this week, wasn't he? Jumping into 2018 with
all kinds of weird
grandma things. And grandpa marijuana, you know. Hey, don't mind me. It's just Ed. It's just Paul Poteet. Hey, we want to bring you a very important message. We want to introduce you to a friend of the show, and the organization that she represents is incredibly important for Indianapolis, and especially right now. I'd like to introduce you to Maria Kaler.
Kyler.
Yeah. I did it wrong. Boy, I'm just, I'm batting 1,000. I had it right before the segment. She's the donor marketing specialist of Indiana Blood Center. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're very good. Very good. Having fun. Maria, welcome to the show. Now let's cut straight to the chase here. You are in, the Indiana Blood Center is in dire need of blood. Is that right?
We are. We are in urgent need right now. We loved the white Christmas. I think everybody did.
Yeah.
But what that does to our blood supply is not a good thing, because people are staying inside, and rightfully so, and enjoying that time with their families and friends. Mm-hmm. Those hospital patients are still in the hospital and still in need of that blood. So it's important for us to get the message out. And unfortunately, the past couple of weeks, our inventory has slipped because of the holidays and the cold weather. So
yeah,
and kind of the perfect storm.
When you say you're depleted, I want to show you what depleted actually looks like.
Yeah.
There is literally no blood on any of the shelves.
Holy mackerel.
So let this speak volumes to people out there. We need blood for not only Indianapolis, but really you help the entire state. Is that right?
We do. And we also help wherever blood's needed. So we help everybody in our own community. And then we also have affiliate blood centers that we help as well.
Mm-hmm.
So without that blood on our shelves, fortunately, we haven't had any orders that we can't fill. But if things keep going this way, we're going to be in an even worse position than we are right now.
That's so scary.
Mm-hmm.
Has it ever, does this happen very often?
No, not too often. But those, the winter months and then the summer is usually when things like this happen, just because kids are out of school.
Yeah.
Which 33% of our blood supply comes from those education-based blood drives. So when high schools and colleges are out, and then the weather on top of that and the holidays, it really is just difficult for us to get people in because there aren't drives right now and that sort of thing.
And this is not a interviewed the Center for Bone Marrow Research. What was it? Be the Match. Yeah. And there's so many reservations that go in people's mind. And we know that it's needed. We know that's the only way to get what is necessary for patients is to donate.
Right.
But there are such trepidations. Myself being one of them, you get that fear factor going on, and we've got to break through that.
Suck it up and go donate blood.
Yeah,
right where we need to be.
Yeah, asking for blood is a very selfless act. If you're going to come donate, it's literally the ultimate life-saving gift. I am one of those people who is terrified of needles, but like we talked about earlier, just seeing my family member have to get a unit of blood last week, thank God the shelves didn't look like that, because it would have been detrimental. So being able to see my family member have that unit of Indiana Blood Center blood go into them and then see her getting so much better. And then, I'm going to get myself into our donor centers and donate, because it really is the best life, the only life-saving gift that you can give while you're still alive, outside of bone marrow, of course.
Well, it's amazing that there is a shortage regularly.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that is easy enough to give, but it's got to be front of mind regularly.
Yep. Indiana Blood Center, we need about 550 units of blood a day is usually what we say to fulfill those hospital needs, to make sure we have enough in our inventory. And then obviously if there's a trauma like we had earlier this week, that takes even more units off the shelves. So we always need to be prepared before that tragedy strikes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important for us to always have full shelves and to get as much blood as we can all of the time.
So is that like when there's a really bad car accident and there's lots of people involved, or is that what you mean by trauma?
Yes, traumas or big accidents, that sort of thing.
Got it. Well, you're asking that people go ahead and schedule an appointment at one of your locations. Our producer will actually produce a list of those locations, and we're going to link to them in the show notes as well. So let's see if we can go ahead and pull those locations up. Do we have that? We don't have that.
That's fine. We'll link to it.
Oh, we'll link to that in the show notes. Sorry about that. So that said, let's go through some of the more downtown locations.
Yeah, so around the metro location here in Indy, we have four centers.
Mm-hmm.
We have our downtown location, which is about 2 miles north of here at 34th and Meridian.
Okay.
And then we have a center up in Carmel. We have one in Fishers, down south in Greenwood. And then up north, we have Lafayette. And then west, we have Terre Haute. We also have just some fixed mobiles out in Avon, Shelbyville, Columbus, and there's a few other fixed mobile locations on our website.
If people donated, let's say people did donate over holiday break or Christmas break, how frequently can you go ahead and donate? Like, when does it replenish itself? How often can you be doing this?
Recommended by the FDA, you have to wait 56 days to donate again. So every 56 days you can come in.
Okay, 56 days. Would never have guessed that.
Did that? Yeah, I knew that as well, because back in the days in college, we actually called it read and bleed. making a little bit of money.
Oh, please.
And we'd come out there, read a book.
Yeah.
And we couldn't come back in 56 days.
You mean not out of the kindness of your heart.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, I'll own that.
So unfortunately, Indiana Blood Center doesn't pay for people to come in and donate. Plasma centers do.
Okay.
But we do you
can give plasma a good deal more frequently.
Yes. You can do plasma every 7 days and platelets as well. Mm-hmm. And we don't pay our donors to come in. But we do like to incentivize every once in a while, especially during the times of great need. So if you are not able to come in the next, 24 hours mm-hmm. or Saturday, we have our last chance in donor centers to get a Colts football here
cool.
featuring Frank Gore. So all of our donor center locations are participating in that next Thursday, January 11th. And that's a great partnership that we have with the Indianapolis Colts to help us be able to do that.
So that's a fantastic giveaway, and that's January 11th, but we need blood right now.
Right now, yeah. We are recommending that people, if you can, come mm-hmm. in the next 24 hours, especially those O and B blood type donors. Those are the kind that we need the most of.
Great. Tell you what I'm going to do. Is I'm actually going to come out at 1 p.m. tomorrow, and I'm going to challenge my staff to come with me.
That would be awesome.
Where I'm actually going to go out there and donate right before Edge of the Web. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Let's see if he passes out in his chair, okay?
But I'm going to come out, and I'm going to challenge any of the site strategics team to come with me.
That would be great.
And we are also going to challenge other digital marketing firms here in Indianapolis, Indiana, and try to get a number of those crew out here to help in this very important cause right now. How about that?
That's awesome. Yep, we would really appreciate that. And I will say it takes about an hour to donate from start to finish. By the time you come in, everybody needs to bring an ID with them.
Mm-hmm.
But an hour start to finish, eat a great meal before just so you can kind of feel good afterwards.
Sure.
Not too many people feel bad afterwards, but just to kind of help you feel a little bit better.
And how much blood do you actually take?
We take one pint.
Okay.
Yep.
That's
a pint of blood.
I've got more than that.
Yeah.
Totally
normal person has about eight pints of blood in their body. And because we are healthy individuals, mm-hmm. you'll bounce right back from that and you'll have blood in your body in the next a couple hours.
So we're gonna do that, and we are certainly gonna challenge marketing companies here in Indianapolis, Indiana, to do just that because we've all got great teams, and let's bring them out and donate to a very worthy cause. Any tips for people who want to donate but might be a little bit antsy or afraid of needles?
I think go onto our YouTube channel. We have a lot of donor and patient recipient stories.
Mm-hmm.
They're really heartfelt and touching. And I think if you are scared of needles, just to kind of put yourself in that patient's shoes or put yourself in the family member's shoes. Like I said,
mm-hmm.
from my own recent personal story before that, I had not been personally affected. And thank goodness for that. But just with my most recent thing, I'm going to go in and donate regardless of being scared.
Well, and
needles,
I feel like
so.
Your staff has to be so good at this point, too. I mean, you all are pros and will probably be very comforting and understanding. And if somebody does freak out, I'm sure they have a method for bringing them back down.
We have really great staff in our donor centers, all very well trained to not only get the blood, but if you are scared or nervous or whatever, they're great at talking you through it. Mm-hmm. And they tell you exactly what they're doing and will explain everything.
Sometimes that makes all the difference, I think.
It definitely
just
does.
Just knowing what's happening.
Yes, definitely.
So, hey, we're kicking off 2018, mm-hmm. and your team is all about regular blood donations,
yes.
right? So it's important to our community regularly to get that because you don't fall into these scenarios.
Yep.
So what would you say to someone who is open to donating blood on a regular basis?
So we like to say that if every donor donated at least twice a year, we would never have a blood shortage.
That's it.
Yep, twice a year.
Twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Four times a year is a lot, 4 to 5 times a mm-hmm. year, depending on how often you can get in. But twice a year
You'd
is
be happy with
double
two.
Our inventory, so wow, it'd be great.
That's so easy. Mm-hmm. We can all do that.
Absolutely.
Come on, everybody.
An hour of your time, and it's unlike any, it's not like on-site, and you can't just click a button and say, I'm going to donate blood today. You can't just give $5. You actually have to come into our center, which is a different type of volunteer service.
Mm-hmm.
You're a blood donor, a volunteer donor, and not just a monetary donor. So it's a little bit more difficult to get people to come in to the actual center with all the easiness of just pushing a donate.
We'll get him to
come. Wouldn't that be a great app, though?
It would. It would be great if we could actually. And we do have mobile drive. So if anybody's interested in scheduling a mobile drive, they can find out more information on our website about hosting mobile drives, especially during the times of need. But we have companies from all over Indiana who host those mobile drives where the bus will come out to their work and collect on site.
Other than now and it being a time of need, do you have any other fun campaigns coming up? I know you've worked with the Colts and things of that nature. Any big partnerships you've got coming up in 2018?
Yeah. So we always do State Fair in the summertime, Kings Island in the summertime as well. We do Carb Day, a lot of really fun things. That's the best part of my job is getting to do those fun things for donors because their gift is so life-saving and they should be recognized. But just getting them to do fun things, to come out, bring their friends.
During the summer when it's warm and lovely.
And then we also have the Indianapolis Home Show coming up next Tuesday. So everybody who comes in will get to our Metro Centers, will get 2 tickets to the home show. But like I said, the immediate need is now.
Yep.
So you cannot come in or if you're out of town, come in the next few days. But and then obviously looking ahead to summer.
Yeah. So. Do you have any hashtags or anything that people can actually tweet out that they've donated? I mean,
yeah, hashtag raise your sleeve.
Okay.
Is the one that we always use. And then just tagging us, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We just got our Instagram up and running, so we're really excited about that. It's a great medium for especially our younger donors, younger demographics. So,
are you referring to at Indiana Blood CTR?
Yes.
I saw it.
Yep.
So around the horn, let's talk about where you can get in contact with Indiana Blood Center. On the website, it's indianablood.org, the easiest thing to type in. Twitter is Indiana Blood, Facebook is Indiana Blood, and Instagram is Indiana Blood CTR. Check out all those resources and watch what they're doing. And raise your sleeve. Hashtag raise your sleeve. And we're absolutely going to champion this. This is a very important cause. And honestly, Maria, ask us regularly whenever the Indiana Blood Center is in need. We'll certainly get the word out and broadcast from our studio.
Just bring your bus here and we'll just do it whenever you
need
us.
There it is.
Yeah, but I know not only myself, but Indiana Blood Center and those hospital patients appreciate it. Getting the blood to the hospitals is our ultimate goal and our mission of why we do what we do every day. So we appreciate all the help we can get in getting the word out.
You don't have a bus tomorrow that you can bring over here, do you?
Unfortunately, we can't schedule that close
quickly,
together, that quickly with staff, but we can definitely get that arranged.
Excellent. So any final words for potential would-be donors out there?
If you're new and you want to come try it out, don't be afraid. Our staff is really great. Our donor centers are cozy and everybody's nice and there's no harm in trying.
Yeah.
So
what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
You just go.
We take very good care of you.
It just goes dark for a second and then you'll be fine.
You get to find out your blood type. You get a mini physical while you come in to donate. Cool. So they test your iron, heart rate, blood pressure.
Do you give us like a cracker or something afterwards?
And afterwards, everybody loves
orange
our cookies and juice.
Perfect. Yep. You get cookies. That's all the incentive anyone needs is cookies and juice.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, Maria.
Thank you very much.
And please let us know how else we can help you.
We definitely will. We appreciate it.
Oh, no worries. All right. That's a wrap for the first show of season 2.
We did it. High five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I fumbled mercilessly through the entire thing. It's like not like I've done this before or anything. Thanks to everybody watching and listening to Edge of Indy. And we always appreciate reviews and shares of the live stream as well as reviews on the podcast and all the different aggregation platforms that we have our audio on. Please give us a shout if you're interested in being on the show. Just let us know. Go over to edgeofindy.com. Or if you're interested in sponsoring the show, those opportunities are open as well. So just give us a shout over there. Hey, thanks so much for joining, and we will see you next year. Say bye, Brittany.
Goodbye, Brittany.
And that is Brittany Simpson, not Harness, just letting you know. And thanks so much, Maria.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maria.
All right, and we'll talk to you next week on Edge of Indy. Bye-bye.